Hey there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 465. This is big episode 465. Hopefully you are having a fantastic week here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are having a yet another tired week. It's kind of funny. I don't even know what to call this show yet. We usually have some kind of a preordained goofy little word to throw up at the front of the show, but I got nothing. Maybe I'll just call it nothing. I don't even know. But there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. We have a lot of interesting things to talk to you about. Hopefully you're gonna find everything fun. But the sub quote for the episode, the subtitle, is "Into every roast, a little chaff must fly." Basically, it's been kind of crazy and great around work and home and everything like that, but every time you get everything going the right direction, something else just goes in the complete opposite direction. For some reason, I'm falling asleep early again, and I've been getting migraines the past couple days. Could be stress at work, who knows, could be a whole bunch of other stuff. But everything is winding down at work right now, which is kind of interesting, because, all the students are getting ready to go, and then that just means, a nice solid month of productivity, so It's going to be fun. That's the easiest way to put it. We have a lot of really cool stuff to talk to you about. I have a little bit of yet another hard-hitting topic. We're not talking about the TSA security checks or anything that I think about them. We're going to be talking a little bit about Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks thing just a little bit up in the front of the show. And then we're going to pretty much dedicate the rest of the show to nonsense and a little nonsense every now and then is, of course, cherished by the wisest men, not claiming to be one of them, but I realize that we've been a little bit more serious than I originally intended on the podcast recently. We've hit a lot of hard-hitting topics, and I didn't want to ever really stand on my soapbox and kind of profess things out there. So I wanted to just make sure that we got everything up, out, right, and in the right vein. So we have a lot of fun stuff to follow up after that. I would like to make a mention of the fact that the podcast is, of course, sponsored by GoToMeeting. Modern offices present a lot of different challenges out there. Colleagues are now in different offices. They're now in different locations. Some people are working from home, or everybody's always out of the office traveling. It's impossible to really get everybody you need in the same room at the same time for a simple meeting. That's why I'm going to recommend GoToMeeting from Citrix. The whole team can attend a meeting online no matter where they are. All you need is a computer and an internet connection. Whoever leads the meeting can show their desktop on everybody else's screen, and it makes the meeting that much simpler. Right there for everybody to see is all of the documents that everybody needs to work on to collaborate in real time. It is really a simple way to actually run a meeting as opposed to hope for a meeting to actually happen. We use GoToMeeting and we can't believe how really easy it is to set up the meeting and just go. That's all you have to do. You don't have to have the tech guy come in to do anything. Everything is simple. And trust me, as a tech guy, I wouldn't know. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. It's actually a month plus. You can visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, the promo code PODCAST, and you get a special 45-day free trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy, cool, and awesome things that we try and do here at the show. I'm going to dive right on into the content. We have so much stuff to talk about. I want to make sure that I babble at least in the general direction of where we should be going. Just in case we did miss, you are actually listening to the Caffeination Podcast, not just a whiny guy talking on a show. And we are lovingly nestled along with all of our other little episodic friends over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com in case you couldn't spell it all out. All right, the first thing we got up for you here is WikiLeaks, and we're not talking about the veggie. A lot of ground to cover on exactly what has happened right after the show basically dropped last week, or eventually dropped last week. There was a little bit of a plug-in error on the website, and every time since I was logged into the site, I would go to our website and see the correct and updated front page, and apparently nobody else saw it for the first 23 hours that the show was live. That's not entirely the best way, but I am sure that it's going to all work out today. All right, back to WikiLeaks. Here's what has gone down. Apparently, The fine folks over at WikiLeaks done what they are ought to do, and they released what would be considered top secret documents. These documents were classified. They were submitted to them by an unnamed source. The documents' veracity was verified, and then they were released after they had... I'm not entirely sure if they were redacted or the documents that they received, that WikiLeaks actually received, were in fact redacted. But the foundation of WikiLeaks exists for a couple different reasons. The first is that if documents are available and out there in the open, the idea of security through obscurity, just because it's top secret and nobody should have it, if they're out and people are able to submit it to this service, that means other people can readily get the same information. And more often than not, government and governmental bodies basically have a tendency to classify things which really don't necessarily need to be classified. The people at WikiLeaks really do walk a fine line a lot of times, and depending on what your stance is on what they do, you could incredibly and vehemently disagree with what I personally believe. I think that they perform a much needed service in this world. I think it, you know, in shining their unwavering light on different facts and figures that come out, I really do think that they have actually been a force for overall a greater good in the world. Just secrets are messy things, and all it takes is one person to slip up, and you know, you could have an incredibly messy situation on your hands. They like to say over at WikiLeaks, specifically Julian Assange likes to say, he is the fountain, or not the fountainhead, he is the figurehead of the company. And they actually, in a couple different interviews, they've talked about whether or not there should be somebody who is the figurehead of that, but he said more often than not that the documents that they would receive and different people who would do it, they would spend more time talking about who were the mystery people behind the services as opposed to focusing on what the content of the documents was. So he basically came out and said, I am the public face. If you need somebody to be an interview about our service or somebody to be a public advocate for the service and the good that it can do, that will be me. And he's really kind of hit, we'll just say, a rough patch here. And basically because he waved a red flag at the bull, he poked a stick at the U.S. and released a lot of documents which show the U.S. in a somewhat unfavorable light, is the easiest way to put it. Basically, it reveals the fact that the embassies that are around the world are, in fact, not really necessarily diplomatic places. They're not really locations where a lot of heavy diplomacy actually takes place, but more often than not, they're like miniature centers of corporate espionage. And I personally don't think that this is necessarily a rude awakening in this realm of this internet age, you know, where I'm shilling for a company that does virtual meetings online. Do you really think that diplomacy can't happen unless you have a building in somebody else's country? There's a lot of really kind of interesting and touchy points that I'm actually a little bit too tired to talk about today, and it's really, really sad. But I'm going to direct you to a couple different resources which I have found incredibly useful. The first is that the truth will always win, Julian Assange writes. This is from over at theaustralian.news.com.au. This is the WikiLeaks founder of Julian Assange. He wrote an op-ed piece. Apparently he is a columnist for The Australian, and he wrote an op-ed piece that was supposed to be released, and then Julian was actually arrested. Here's the fun thing. After they released all of these wonderful little documents, which at most are embarrassing about what the U.S. thought about different people in the world, and there's quite a significant amount of these documents that were actually put forth. It's kind of interesting that all of a sudden these other charges get trumped up, and all of a sudden WikiLeaks is having hosting problems, like Amazon drops them from their registrar, and then the different DNS entries can no longer find them. And even if that's a little bit too technical, basically, let's just put it, the business of keeping a website online has become much, much more difficult for WikiLeaks because, you know, they poked a stick at the bull. they made the U.S. angry, and you know, the U.S. is like the Hulk. They don't really think about things. They just get all angry, big, puffy, and green. And this is coming from somebody who's incredibly proud of his country. But at the same point in time, I think the more that people struggle against this, the more that people are saying, oh my God, you can't say that, the more that we have idiots in the national press, you know, claiming that this man should be assassinated for what really, if you're looking at it, doesn't seem to be horrible information. This is information which all you would really need to do is do a little bit of research and probably would have been able to figure out most of it on your own. But it's I don't know. You're making the information. On one hand, the U.S. is claiming the information is nothing. And then on the other hand, they're making all of this big fuss about it, and all of a sudden, all of these other mystery things which shouldn't really be connected to the situation are now connected to the situation again. You're making it seem that much more important. We have public figures in the U.S. who say that this man should be assassinated. I'm sorry that there is no way, at no point in time in our country's history, do I ever think that that statement should be uttered. I think that, you know, we have a long and storied past in different areas, but I do not think that that should have been part of the national fabric of discussion on this. Beyond his op-ed piece over in The Australian, I actually also linked over to his TED Talk. Yes, at one point in time, this past summer, Julian was actually invited to speak at TED, and I had watched his presentation previously. He does an excellent job of explaining exactly why WikiLeaks is necessary in a world like we live in right now. So if you really have a couple minutes, I highly suggest you head on over there. It says, WikiLeaks has had more scoops in 3 years than Washington Post has had in 30. I mean, that's one of the kind of things that they actually have out there. It's interesting because there's a lot of different stuff that's been brought to light by WikiLeaks. I mean, they're one of the people who brought, like, the prison issues that were over in the Iraq. A lot of the really deplorable things that agents of government have done have come to light and made us better humans overall, and I really think that this is getting way out of hand. And it's not just me, but there's actually, it's kind of sad when a fiction writer has a much more clear opinion of things than the national media. But Umberto Eco, the writer of Foucault's Pendulum and so many other books, actually wrote an op-ed piece of his own over in an Italian newspaper, and or Press Europe. But it's really kind of interesting to see what he said, and says the real secret is that it's an empty secret. So it's basically exactly what I said. The things that are now being said publicly were already known by most of the people who should have been in the know, and now this is just a confirmation, if you will, on that. So I really don't know. I mean, please feel free to disagree with me. There's just a lot of stupidity going on, is the easiest way for me to say it. And hopefully everything will get cleared out. I know that there's a lot of people who have very strong opinions on what should and shouldn't be said. The man isn't an American citizen. He is an Australian citizen. So no matter what laws of ours you feel like throwing about and bandying about, they really don't actually apply to him. So any say that, you know, he's a traitor or anything, he was never one of us, shall we say. He was always from a different country, so he should have no allegiance to the U.S. And at no point in time do I believe that the U.S. should be acting like the bully in this case. I really think that we're I think this is going to end up harming our reputation on a national stage more than a lot of other things that have happened. So, I don't know, but that's just me. We have a huge amount of really lighthearted stuff to talk about now. The first thing is Present Face by Garfunkel and Oates, which is a female duo that actually sing to the tune of a ukulele. It talks about that kind of awkward face that you make after you receive a president that you really don't like, but it's kind of interesting. Now, the song itself is a lilting little wander through through the joys of getting things that you really shouldn't ought have given. And it's really kind of fun and interesting to actually listen to the song. So I'm going to just put a link up to the video over there. And this is a little bit of the song.
Christmas comes but once a year, and mostly it is well. But there's an epidemic that I think we all know well. Your smile is frozen open, there's a crazed look in your eye. You overflow with compliments while trying to deny that you know the gift you opened, but you try to keep your grace. Your scary grin is frozen, don't you know you've got a case of Present face. Present face. Present face. Present face. Oh, thank you so much.
Well, there's a whole bunch more to the actual song, and it's really kind of funny to see all the different actors and actresses that they actually got to join them on the video. It's really kind of cool, so I want to suggest that you head on over there and watch the whole thing. It's really neat, and the funny thing is, when I said present face to my wife, she knew immediately what I was talking about, but she first said, they really didn't do something to a Lady Gaga song, did they? And I was really kind of happy. I hadn't even made that association, but I was really very happy that they had this completely new, completely original song that really describes a condition that we've all experienced quite well. So I just wanted to share that with the group. Next one that we have up there, who knows that science should be creepy? This is Image of the Day from over at Device.com, which is the blogging arm of the Sci-Fi Network. Image of the Day, this one is a... really, really creepy fake panda suit, and the fake panda is actually petting a small panda. And basically the idea behind this concept is that scientists are dressing up as pandas to hopefully socialize baby pandas that are being raised in captivity so that they can be released into the wild, and they're not that they're socialized towards interacting with other pandas. The only thing is, the panda doesn't seem to act like a panda. It's walking on two legs, not four. It looks creepy. It looks like a really, really sick costume. There's so many different jokes that you could actually make here. But I think, you know, if pandas really can't tell the difference between this and an actual panda, they're pretty sad animals. Which, as a small aside, it's kind of funny. One of my one of my friends in work actually recently came out and told me that they hated pandas. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing. They said, seriously, how much money is being dumped into making sure that these animals that are too stupid to move out of the bamboo forest? And like, she went on this long tirade about it, and I thought it was hilarious, because I mean, I've heard people hate on different things, and I myself have been known to rant from time to time, but I've never heard somebody rail against pandas, so I thought this was kind of funny, and I am, of course, going to send this article to her. All right, next little bit of awesome that we got for you here is a interesting little thing. Google Chrome, not the browser, but the mobile operating system, is actually going to be coming out next year, and Google's trying to hammer out all the little kinks and get all the bells and whistles crammed into it beforehand. So what they're doing is they're releasing the first Chrome-powered Google netbook. This is the CR48 netbook. It is completely like sleek and attractive and interesting. There's a couple fun things about it. First of all, they have Wi-Fi and 3G additions. Second of all, there is not a real hard drive on it. The idea behind Chrome OS is that all of the applications live in the cloud. Everything is online. So for people who spend their lives online, this is a very useful tool. So I'm really kind of enthused about it, and the funny thing is they actually did what everybody has been begging computer manufacturers to do for years. They removed the caps lock key. No longer will internet trolls be able to just click one button and type away accidentally. And I love the article that they have over at Wired, which basically says they've removed that vestigial trait. Gotta love it. It's like the appendix on your keyboard that nobody ever really honestly needs. So more often than not, you end up having to retype a paragraph if you're not paying attention because you accidentally left it engaged. So I like that idea that they removed it. They actually didn't remove the key itself. What they did is they made the key a strikeable key for a search buttons, which is, you know, it's Google. Come on. And the best part about it is that not only are they actually going to be releasing this netbook, but they're going to be giving some of them away to different organizations and individual peoples. If you'd like to head on over and actually sign up to the pilot program, if you don't use Chrome for your browser, then you haven't been prompted yet. But if you do use Chrome and ended up on one of the blank pages, chances are you've seen the little prompt up at the top that asks you if you'd like to be involved. I think I've signed up a couple times at this point in time, so you can head on over there to www.google.com/chromeos/pilot-program.html, or you can just follow the link in the wonderful show notes that I've provided for you, and you too can suggest that they send you a bevy of laptop goodness. All right, now the next little thing that we got for you here is a huge hat tip to my friend JV, who's rocked both the idea of a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Night Before Christmas mashup. Now, there's two different mashups here. The first one is a Fresh Prince one, actually is the Night Before Christmas done to the tune of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's theme song. So, you know the one. And it's like, now this is the story of about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. You know, that whole deal that was the everybody who has ever seen the show, immediately they associate West Philadelphia the show and everything else, and just that entire phrasing. And then he actually flipped it around, did a little bit more of a mashup on actually, he used the words from the Fresh Prince song and fit them into the poetic structure of The Night Before Christmas. I actually like that one a little bit better than I like the other one, but thank you so much, JV. It's really cool to see those. I'm not actually going to play the audio on here because I had trouble queuing it up, but I definitely want to send people over to those two different pieces, and just, hey, let me know which one your favorite one is. All right, old gamers never die. They just wait for retro gaming to come back. That's right over at funnierdie.com. They have an awesome little... this is a promotional piece. This is how you need to promote games. This is promoting EA Sports... NBA Jam, the new game that's coming out, but this is the new game that is the old game. It's an arcade classic from when I was in high school and a little bit earlier. I remember basically this game created a set of some of the most horrendous trash talk ever. And the funny thing is, the first half of the commercial shows an older gentleman being beaten by a younger gentleman at games rather handily. The kid's like drinking a soda and knocking him out, and then this happens.
Ah, the game has changed.
What?
Yeah.
All right, who do you want me to beat you with?
Clyde?
Hey, Isaiah Thomas?
Patrick Ewing, my boy!
Bill Laimbeer?
I will beat you with Laimbeer.
We are underway! Fires for three!
Shaka-laka!
Oh my!
I'm on fire!
And then it goes from beyond that. And I just had to share it with the group because I was hysterically laughing the first time I saw it. And I think more so because I know people who were like this playing that game. They would scream the taunts that the game would actually do. Like, you know, toasty! And like all the different little things that would happen throughout the game. Like, the chips are for winners! I mean, every possible thing that you could do in that fake announcer voice. I know people who would do that in tune to what they were saying, or they would create their own little derivations on it. So I want to just shift you over to that because I thought it was that much awesome. All right, and then we have ye old Christmas trees getting a bit dry. I do know we are heading out for Tree Day this Saturday, which is the large collaboration of everybody in my wife's family gets together and they all buy their Christmas trees on the same day. It's kind of an interesting little tradition. I tried to document it in video one year, but you really can't capture the majesty that is Tree Day in a video. You have to actually be a part of it. So there's, I think at this point in time, there's 6 houses involved or something like that. Everybody goes to the different tree lots that are around here. Then we all go out to dinner after we're done collecting the trees. It's really cool. And then they go from house to house setting up the different trees, and it's really nice tradition, and it really makes but it also can add to a little bit of stress to the holidays from time to time. It's pretty funny. But beyond all that, if you head on over to hackaday.com, they show you how you can actually make a Christmas tree water monitor. It's a tiny little bit of electronics that if you get there in time, you can actually set up just a little battery pack. It sits on the edge of your tree stand and warns you when you are low. So I like this idea. I think I'm not entirely sure how we're going to do it this year, but I usually try and find some convoluted way of adding water to the system, but I'm pretty sure, you know, if I had thought about it a little bit earlier, I might have tried to do something like this, but that's a pretty cool idea. All right, moving right along to the next little thing that we got for you here, and the last little bit of real news that we got is over at uiproductions.blogspot.com. Mark has found a way, or this is actually an old post of his that he's recently updated, to create Star Trek-style doors. Now, these are pneumatic doors that actually hide in the wall. So the door is split in half to his bedroom, and then they come out just like you would see in Star Trek or any other futuristic movie. He goes through in painstaking detail where he hides the air compressor, why there's a vent above the door, there's a keypad entry, and the only thing that there's two things that were raised in the comments that he didn't actually address. The first was whether or not you would get hurt if you were in the door when it tried to close, because that would be something I'd kind of want to know. I have little kids and everything. It's something you really want to make sure doesn't happen. And the other thing is, what happens when the electricity goes out? Is there a manual override? I mean, come on, any really good sci-fi geek knows that there needs to be a manual override so that, when the ship's in trouble and the computer's turned against you, then you can get in there and you can pull the plug. No, Dave. Then you start singing Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. All right, well, the last little bit of non-real news, but still kind of funny. What I want you to do is go over to laughingsquid.com. And you can check out this, they have Tech Blog Bingo. Basically, it's a series of different cards that you can actually download and print out, and whenever you read a tech news story, you check off the different ones. And the sad thing is, I know so many people who are buzzword compliant, so many different websites that are out there that fall into this trap of being completely and utterly boring about everything they write. And it's something that I wouldn't want to be accused of, and this is really kind of sad. But you could probably get bingo on almost every story on some of the larger distribution points, like some of the AP News, the Reuters, and I would even say CNET News is pretty bad, and Gadget even. But Wired, not so much. Wired has a different style for their writing, although they do hit a lot of the different buzzword-worthy topics out there. So I just thought it was pretty funny and wanted to share that with the group as well. All right, now that about wraps it up for the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. Just a reminder, this is your last day to actually head on over to the link that we have at the end of the GeekCraft section. This is the last day to get in on the Buckyballs the Buckyballs giveaway. So if you read this before December 10th, please feel free to email me at thanks@caffeination.com. Just tell me what you're thankful for in this great wide world, in this the start of the holiday season. And we're trying to, Buckyballs has graciously offered to send three sets out there. So there's going to be two that are picked at random, and one's going to be picked on merit. So just for fun, you can either comment on the article that I have linked up there, or you can send me an email to thanks@caffeination.com. Phew. Yeah, I love it when I talk over my own self, but this is kind of interesting. We're at the edge of reasonable thought here. All right, moving on to the food and caffeinated bits section. R2-D2 sippy cup, or this is the droid I'm looking for. If you have $25, then you too could get this very own thermos-looking mug that has, this is the standard Star Trek thing. It's a mug that's shaped like R2-D2. You remove the dome-shaped head, and guess what? You can drink out of the top. There's also a little sippy fountain at the top where I'm pretty sure his holographic projector was. $25 is a little bit steep for me to use on a sippy cup, so I don't know about you. And then the next little story we got for you here is from over at New York the New York Times, the old gray lady herself. Starbucks and Kraft escalate the battle over marketing pact. Here's something I was not aware of. Kraft Foods is the actual distributor for the supermarket presence of Starbucks. So everything except the Via Ready Brew, all the Starbucks ground and unground coffees, are distributed by Kraft Foods. This is an agreement that dates back 12 years, and apparently way back when, Starbucks was not equipped nationally to get the distribution points correct. They were not equipped to get the amount of stuff out to the amount of different stores that were countrywide at that point in time. So they entered into a 50-50 sharing agreement. So, you know, they would basically peer with Kraft Foods to get this stuff out. Now, there apparently is an out clause where, you know, Kraft one or both of the parties can actually walk away from the deal. Here's the thing. The deal is something around the share of a $500 million a year industry, and that's a lot of money. And Starbucks recently actually released their Via Ready Brew, and they were the sole distribution point. So they kind of cut Kraft out of the loop there. And the idea is that Starbucks wanted to end the partnership, basically. Kraft said, no, actually, you can't end the partnership, and now they're suing them, so it's getting kind of nasty out there. But what I actually and I could care less who ends up with what business. I really don't buy Starbucks, especially not from the supermarket anyway. But I was more kind of stunned by the fact that Kraft Foods actually was in bed with Starbucks. I hadn't known. So it was kind of interesting, and I just wanted to share that with everybody. Hopefully you'll find it a little bit interesting. You can head on over there while it is still available and actually read up on the story yourself. All right, next thing from over at thatsnerdalicious.com, we have Bacon Angels on a Christmas Tree. You heard it here correctly. It's tiny little pipe cleaner angel wings being taped to felt strips of bacon, and they're hanging all over a Christmas tree. I like bacon as much as the next guy. Well, actually, I like bacon, but not nearly as much as some of the next guys in the show. But this is really cool. My wife sent back, really? They're doing that? All right, next little bit of awesomeness that we have for you. Here's thank you ever so much to Mike Crimmins from the dailyshotofcoffee.com. He actually put together a list, which we are included in, on the 42 must-read coffee blogs. Now, I would like to thank Mike on a couple different areas. First of all, this reminds me of all the different the resources that are out there to look for fun coffee news on. And secondly, you know, for actually including us in this list as well. I know that we don't necessarily have as much coffee-related content as some of the other people out there, because, hey, we straddle the wide world of tech and caffeine, but it's really wonderful to be kept in such company, so I'm just glad to be over there. They also have the fan favorites of ineedcoffee.com, Jim7, a whole bunch of other fun stuff that we reference rather frequently. And let's see what else we got. There's a couple little things, and we're going to head you out on your way. I don't know how you feel about spice, but I love me some spicy food. Now you can grow your very own nasty hot pepper. Now, this isn't the fact that the pepper itself is nasty. This is the fact that it is nasty hot. This is the second most powerful pepper in the world. It's actually a Naga Jokia, and it's available from ThinkGeek.com for $5 or $4.99, or nothing. This is actually available from Incredible Things, I'm sorry, but it allows you to grow one of these plants at your desk. Now, I have a green thumb, I love growing things, and it's kind of fun. We actually had a little bit of elephant garlic that started sprouting the shoots in the fridge, so I threw it in some dirt and put it up on the windowsill, and it's growing like a weed now. I think garlic actually originally was a weed, but it's nothing near as powerful as this kind of pepper. And this is actually a kind of pepper that I'd be a little bit worried growing in the house, because I'd be afraid that my kid would pull it off and eat it. This thing is so hot that it can actually give you chemical burns on your mouth. So there you go, and here we are. And the last little bit of what we have for you here today is a caloric nightmare from over at YouTube.com. There's a fun comedy troupe called Epic Mealtime. The idea behind this is a bunch of Canadians who are all about food. They said that they're basically flying in the face of popular culture, which is dieting and restricting what you should eat, and they are making the most insane caloric nightmares out there. And they're also incredibly entertaining at the same time. They're not entirely safe for work, but they sort of beep or quack out most of the appropriate words, and it's always, I think it's actually a lot more funny bleeped out. But the first thing that they have up there right now, or the latest offering, is fast food sushi, where they take different bits of fast food that's out there. And one thing that they actually make was a chicken nugget french fry bacon wrapped nigiri, which is where they basically take a chicken nugget, they put it on top of three french fries, they trim the fries, and then they wrap everything in tiny little strips of bacon, so that actually closely resembles the nigiri from the sushi plates. They also have the breakfast of booze. Then they have the Tur Bacon Epic Thanksgiving, the massive meat log, which is the largest faux corn dog that you will ever see. And some of their earlier episodes aren't nearly as often as the as awesome rather as the latest. I'd say five, but they take comedy and cooking to a level that you have never seen. If you are somebody who is a fan of manly cooking and eating meat and bacon on lots of things, they wrap a pig in bacon on one of their episodes. And not only that, there are five birds in the Tur Bacon Epic. There are five birds, each with different layers of stuffing, everything all sewn up into a turkey. Then the turkey's roasted, covered in bacon, shoved inside a pig. The pig is roasted, covered in bacon. And then the final syrup that they put across the top is a mix of Dr. Pepper and butter, so with a little bit of brown sugar glaze on top of that. So to that level of insanity, and they actually have like a running calorie counter at the bottom, which is what makes it really funny. I think one of them was over 100,000 calories and somewhere around 7,000 calories of fat. It's really, really, really funny. So I highly suggest you head on over there and check it out. And that about wraps it up here today for episode number 465. We're just going to call it the Scattered Edition because that's where my brain feels like it is. Hopefully some of the more pertinent information that we talked about at the beginning of the show actually comes through in sort of a coherent way. But I do have to say that I shouldn't be recording this late at night. It's just something that shouldn't ought to happen. But I fell asleep on the couch for no apparent reason. So I should either get some sleep or who knows, maybe just get some sleep. All right, I'd love to thank you for listening to this show and any of the other shows you happen to download. If you are wondering how you can get in touch with us, there's plenty of ways over at the Caffeination homepage, www.caffeination.com. Just a reminder you can send comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail over to caffeination@gmail.com. And if you want to avoid some of the plug-in snafus that we've had recently, you can also request at that same email address to be added to the mailing list. So I'm going to send you a direct link to the show notes every time they're published, basically. So hopefully you find that interesting and useful. All right, thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.